to the Richard Nixon Experience.
I think you should make your Russian trip, but I don't know what the hell it is, whether you can get it in before Brezhnev is here. If you do not make your Russian trip, it is imperative, in my view, that you be here to have for one of the meetings with him. What I mean is I've got to get it, I want to get a signal out there. And one of the reasons that I'll call you about your trip, because it just struck me in my mind, your trip came before the Russian summit. If you could do it before, could you still do it before?
Not help from here.
I'm referring to help here. I'm referring if you could do about a three, four day. No, I guess you couldn't do it. But I think you could get over it, and frankly, Now, let's do it when he gets here. We can do it just as well when he gets here. As a matter of fact, let me tell you one thing he loves. He loves to hunt. I've never hunted in my whole damn life. Could you arrange a hunting party for him? Is there a place that you're not hired, are you?
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, he likes to hunt boar and things like that, big stuff.
Yes, not birds.
I don't think he's a birdman.
Yes, we can.
I was thinking of that island you mentioned, or someplace around your place or something. You know what I mean? Where I would go and be a spectator. What I'm getting at is, they sound like little things, but to him they're enormous and important.
What we can do, we can arrange a hunt for him on a wild ranch. See, it's
where's
the season?
It's out of season.
So the only place you can do it is where they have exotic game where you can hunt the year round.
Okay.
But we can do that. They've got the spike of deer, they've got the black buck antelope, they got their...
Now where is that located? What kind of...
It's Texas. Oh yeah, it's a mountain home just north of my ranch by about 80 miles.
How many can you take care of him? I have to go.
Oh yeah. They can take care of quite a few. It's a commercial operation.
You only do about a day or two. All right, will you flesh that out for me so that as I look at the various options, I might throw that in. And then what I'd like to do, though, if we could do that, I want you to go search. So that, you know,
he can go hunting there, and if he could do that,
he could go there and then go on out to California to see me and some of the magic he's got to do there, and I'd like to have him make a stop. There's another reason for taking him there. I'm trying to keep him the hell out of the big cities. You know why? Goddamn demonstrations. I'm buried in the cold, fresh shoes.
Well, this is in the hill country of Texas. It's isolated as hell. It's blind.
It's great.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful, rolling country, and you can see a world of game. And we can kill our four or five species.
Well, fine. It's a detail.
This is NBC Nightly News, Monday, June 18th, reported by John Chancellor.
Good evening. Two important stories tonight. The summit talks with the Russians began at the White House, and because of the summit, the Senate Watergate Committee has postponed its public hearings for 1 week. We'll have details on both of those stories. We'll see the giant rescue effort mounted today in the Florida Keys to save four men trapped in a small submarine. And we'll have another special report on the gasoline shortage. The second Soviet-American summit meeting in a little over a year got underway in Washington today at the White House, where President Nixon welcomed Soviet Party Chief Leonid Brezhnev. Here's a report on that ceremony from our White House correspondent, Richard Valeriani.
A slight drizzle stopped shortly before Brezhnev reached the White House, but his arrival from Camp David by helicopter was delayed because of the rainy weather. The President and Mrs. Nixon were waiting on the South Lawn as a presidential limousine brought Brezhnev from the helipad, heralded by Army trumpeters. The two men shook hands heartily, like two old friends who haven't seen each other for a while. Cannons boomed a 21-gun salute, a tribute to Brezhnev's status as the principal leader of the Soviet Union, even though he is not officially the head of the government. The two men then trooped the line. At one point, Brezhnev plunged into the crowd, acting like an American politician out campaigning. And in a way, he was campaigning to make the Soviet Union and its policies more acceptable to the United States and to its people, especially its elected representatives in Congress. In his welcoming remarks, the president looked back to the Moscow summit, and he looked ahead to some progress on limiting offensive nuclear weapons at this summit.
This year, at the summit in Washington, we will not only build on the foundation that we laid last year, but that we have the opportunity to make even greater progress than we made last year toward the goals that we share in common. And above all, the goal that goes beyond our two countries, but to the whole world. The goal of lifting the burden of armaments from the world and building a structure of peace.
Но в политике действуют свои понятия относительности.
Brezhnev's reply used language strikingly similar to Mr. Nixon's. He said the Moscow summit last year had laid a good, reliable foundation for relations of peace between the two countries. And he said he and his delegation were prepared to work hard to ensure that the summit talks here serve the interests of a peaceful future for all mankind. The two leaders then moved forward to almost 4 hours of private talks, continuing right through a scheduled lunch break. Spokesman said afterward they reviewed the world situation in general terms on a philosophical plane without getting into specifics. The Russians said it was a good business-like beginning. Mr. Nixon was quoted as saying the talks were very good, very relaxed. One tangible result was approval of 3 and perhaps 4 new American-Soviet agreements to be signed tomorrow.
At the summit in Washington, we will not only build on the foundation that we laid last year, but that we have the opportunity to make even greater progress than we made last year toward the goals that we share in common.
Welcome to Bridging the Political Gap. I'm Randall Wallace, and we are now at the summit in Washington, D.C. And what's going to come out pretty quickly in this is how friendly Leonid Brezhnev and Richard Nixon are with one another. And we have, because of the taping system, an extraordinary meeting in the Oval Office between the President and the General Secretary. And you can see, despite the fact that there's an interpreter there, and you can really pick up that this is a friendly talk. And at one point, President Nixon even talks about that he's got 3.5 more years, which unfortunately was not meant to be. But you can see that they are building a friendship that is going to really help in this next year and a half that President Nixon is there when things happen, which we will see in a war is going to break out in the Middle East in October. But you get a feel for the importance of this human bond and this relationship that happens at the top, just like you had between the Chinese with President Nixon and Chou Enlai. Let me warn you about this call. or this conversation. It is in a room. There are times it's hard to hear, but also, of course, Brezhnev is speaking in Russian, and then the interpreter will reinterpret that, and then Nixon will respond, and then, of course, the interpreter will do that. So you can hear a lot of Russian here that you, like me, don't understand, but you'll get the gist of the conversation listening to President Nixon's part of it. And I thought it too valuable a conversation not to include. Normally, when it comes to something where it's this drawn out and it, you have all this that you don't really understand, I wouldn't include it. But I think this is too important because you pick up other things, even though you have a lot of Russian in it, of just the fact that they get along really well, and that's going to be an important part of that relationship. That's going to dictate a lot of things that happen in the world for the next year and a half, and even into the Ford presidency because Henry Kissinger stays.
Essential that
President then takes the General Secretary Brezhnev to Camp David, where they're going to do a lot more talking and negotiating. And you can see this is a portion where they're moving around at Camp David where the press can get to them, and they're on golf carts, and you can just see the relationship that has blossomed.
How do you like the jacket?
Very
good. Very
good. I like that jacket.
You can see ample proof that it's mine.
We gave one to each of the distinguished guests there, to the Prime Minister.
That's all the President's doing.
We got their sizes and made them up in advance.
Omnia Padelio.
After they do some talking at Camp David, they come back to the White House. They have a big celebration, and the next day they'll sign two agreements, one of which, the agreement on the prevention of nuclear war, has largely been considered maybe the high watermark in detente between the USSR and the United States. And it really did say to the world that both of these superpowers believed that nuclear war should never be fought, and that it was a priority that it not be fought. And it really began us down this road. We've had some freezes and some thaws between this and the end of the Cold War, but it got us on that road to what would eventually be the fall of communism.
Mr. General Secretary and all of our guests, on an evening like this, as it reaches the hour of midnight, we look back on the day. And we also look forward to how we will evaluate this day. And with the entertainment that we've had, the refreshments, the good food, that alone would make it a memorable evening. But I think the General Secretary will agree with me when I say that it is our goal and it is our hope that this day begins a week of meetings which will make a greater contribution to the cause of peace in the world than any meetings ever held in this House. That is a great goal. We believe we can achieve it.
Два слова. Я разделяю
полностью мысли президента. Мы должны сделать все для блага человека во имя человека.
Just two words to say that I fully share what the president has just said. We must indeed do all we can for the good of man and for the benefit of man.
Now, as the host, I always get the last word. I want to say to the General Secretary that all of the rest of you are invited to dance till 1 o'clock or later. But it's 7 o'clock in Moscow and time for you to get up, not to go to bed. The day begins.
President, Mr. General Secretary, Excellencies, distinguished guests. The two agreements to be signed today have been examined by the Acting Legal Advisor of the Department of State and by the Acting Chief of the Treaty Section of the Treaty and Legal Division of the Soviet Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The documents have been found to be in proper order. The first of the two agreements to be signed is the agreement between the United States of America and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics on scientific and technical cooperation in the field of peaceful uses of atomic energy. We shall now proceed with the signature of that agreement. We shall now proceed with the signature of the second agreement, Basic Principles of Negotiations on the Further Limitation of Strategic Offensive Arms.
Subjects covered generally were the major subjects of negotiation between Mr. Brezhnev and the President. These included the Security Conference on Europe, force reduction, what we call mutual balanced force reduction, trade negotiations with the United States. I felt that the General Secretary, Mr. Brezhnev, made an extremely strong plea on behalf of himself and his associates, both in his party and in the government of the Soviet Union, for a new era of cooperation with the United States in the interests of peace and trade for the long term.
Well, the main thrust was his desire for improved relations, and particularly with particular interest of emphasis upon the economic program, in which he repeated time and again that this was a program for mutual advantage. They had a big country with vast undeveloped resources. We were a big country and a big market, and he thought it was mutually advantageous if we could cooperate over a long term with for the development of these resources. He emphasized they weren't interested in momentary programs or policies, but long-term policies.
This is Randall Wallace, your host for Bridging the Political Gap. I want to thank you first for tuning in to our podcast and invite you to come to our website, randallwallace.com. There you can get a copy of our book, Always Vote Your Conscience, Don't Take It Personally, and Don't Fight the Same Old Battles Over and Over Again, with a lot of policy suggestions and things that I think everyone could embrace, an argument for why we need to be working together instead of fighting with each other. Also, you can take a look at the first 11 episodes of this podcast, which was a podcast documentary that looked at the World War II generation of bipartisan leadership that built the American century and the lessons we can learn from them to apply to today's situations. Again, thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And if you've enjoyed our show, please leave us a review at wherever you get your podcast. And now, let's get back to the show.
Compartment when the presidential jet went over the Grand Canyon so that the Soviet leader could get a good look at the spectacular sight. The pilot took the plane down to within 1,400 feet of the rugged mountains that ring the giant gorge. Mr. Brezhnev called it very beautiful and added, "It's a pity it's so barren." The president's plane landed at the El Toro Marine Air Station. In all, it was a five-jet caravan that made the cross-country trip. More than 400 officials, advisors, newsmen, security officers, and staff aides are accompanying the two leaders. The president and Mr. Brezhnev then helicoptered to San Clemente. Mr. Brezhnev, as he's done throughout the trips, stopped to thank the chopper pilots and then gave his boxer-style greeting to the crowd. Brezhnev stopped and talked for a minute with a newsman. He said California was beautiful, and he termed the agreement signed yesterday to preventing nuclear war very, very important for the whole world.
As you can tell, they took the show on the road, flying over the Grand Canyon and then going to California to San Clemente, where Leonid Brezhnev stayed in, I believe, Trisha Cox's room at the beautiful estate there, La Casa Pacifica, the home that they called it, the Western White House that President Nixon had. And if you've ever get a chance, one time it was for sale, you could look it up and get like a video, a visual tour of it that the realtor had. I think that they were asking something like $67 million for this house. It really ought to be bought and made a historic landmark that you could tour, because so many important things happened there during President Nixon's term. Chiefly among them, this meeting with Leonid Brezhnev, in which they would talk about all kinds of issues, including a very important one that's going to be very important in October, which was the situation between the Arab countries and Israel, and whether or not there would be any situations that would develop. Brezhnev, in this conversation, while they're there, kind of assures him that there won't be, and so that's going to make this Yom Kippur situation in October later a little bit of a surprise, or a surprise, for President Nixon. Our intelligence folks didn't pick it up, and you'll hear Nixon talk about that later. But anyway, it was here, San Clemente, in California, where President Nixon and Leonid Brezhnev continue their summit.
Well, Mr. General Secretary and all of our distinguished guests, we have met in Washington and also at Camp David, and as this historic week is concluded, we think it is most appropriate that we meet here in California. And Mr. General Secretary, I've told you a lot about California, our most populous state, our most diverse state. There are 20 million people that would like to be here tonight to welcome you, but these are representative of California, and they receive you, as you note, very warmly. As you have pointed out, the name of this house is La Casa Pacifica, which means the House of Peace. And in Russian, I just heard him translate it, that's Dom Mira.
Dom Mira.
That's right. And the General Secretary thought that this was a particularly appropriate place, this house and this state on the Pacific, to have our concluding talks. We believe that the agreements that we have reached this week will contribute to the peaceful world that everybody here wants, and that the General Secretary and I
have been working for in our respective positions. And as we look back to this day, we hope that this name, the House of Peace, will be a reality in terms of the agreements that have been reached and in terms of the promise those agreements mean for not just the Soviet people and the American people, but for all the people of the world. Now, Mr. General Secretary, we are going to meet all the guests, but I should point out to our guests that we will have in our receiving line, in addition to Mrs. Nixon and the General Secretary, Foreign Minister Gromyko, Ambassador and Mrs. Dobrynin, both of whom have come from Washington, and Secretary of State and Mrs. Rogers. Incidentally, the Secretary of State is celebrating his birthday, and nobody has celebrated his 60th birthday more often in more auspicious places than the Secretary of State. We celebrated it Wednesday when the General Secretary toasted him 2 days in advance at Camp David. And then the next day we celebrated it in the Soviet Embassy at the brilliant dinner party that was given there when both the General Secretary and I toasted him, thinking that that was either the day or the day before. We finally have learned from Mrs. Rogers that today is the day, so we say happy birthday to the Secretary of State. And then finally, in this distinguished company, our leaders from political and business and life, as well as some of the people that both of us have seen and admired on the screen. I find in my personal chats with the General Secretary that he likes Western movies, as well as some others, but he likes Westerns in particular, and so do I. We have several Western movie stars that you will recognize. But because this is a house of peace, every one of them has checked his holster belt with the pistols at the door before he came in. Thank you.
Уважаемые дамы, уважаемые господа.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Я нахожусь на вашей земле в Соединенных Штатах Америки уже несколько дней.
I have spent already several days in the United States of America.
И каждый день господин президент Никсон устраивает для меня и сопровождающих меня товарищей новые и новые приятные сюрпризы. Я не говорю уже о том, что мы ведем очень полезные, необходимые, важные переговоры и успели подписать ряд очень крупных и важных соглашений, утверждающих добрые отношения между нашими государствами, между нашими народами. И особое значение мы придаем документу, который мы подписали вчера господином президентом о неприменении ядерного оружия друг против друга.
Every day, President Nixon arranges for me and for the comrades who are accompanying me on this trip new surprises. I would also say that we are conducting very necessary and important negotiations, and we have already managed to sign quite important agreements which are confirming and consolidating the good friendly relations which are existing between our peoples and between our states. And I might stress that especially significant in this respect is the agreement we have concluded yesterday on the prevention of nuclear war.
Я каждый день встречаюсь или с старыми своими знакомыми американскими или приобретаю новых знакомых. Это доставляет мне большое удовольствие.
Every day I meet old acquaintances in America and I make new friendships. And this is a fact which is a fact of great pleasure.
Я особо хочу подчеркнуть и немаловажный факт, что именно сегодня я нахожусь здесь среди вас, именно в доме господина Никсона и его супруги. Это доставляет мне также большое удовольствие, и я не могу этого не отметить.
And I would like to stress that it's important that today I'm here in the home of the President and Mrs. Nixon, and I feel happy.
Ну и здесь мы продолжаем серьезную и полезную работу. До нашей встречи с вами мы уже потратили не один час для деловых разговоров.
We are continuing with our serious and beneficial work here, and we have spent many hours in business-like negotiations.
Сегодня я успел здесь, именно здесь, на территории Калифорнии, рядом с домом господина Никсона, обратиться к американскому народу при помощи телевидения. Я думаю, что вы, я не знаю, когда это будет показано, сегодня или завтра, но вы услышите все, о чем думаю я, о чем думает советский народ, как мы думаем строить наши отношения дальше.
Today, here, on the territory of California, quite near to the home of the President, I have addressed the American people through American television. I'm not sure when they will have this program, today or tomorrow, but when you see it, you will hear my thoughts and the thoughts of the Soviet people.
Я очень хочу, чтобы название этого дома, Дом мира, не был бы символическим, так же, как и наши отношения, чтобы они приобрели эпохальный характер и вошли бы в историю как знак мира, дружбы, взаимовыгодного сотрудничества, уважения между нашими народами, чтобы не было войны.
I would very much like that the name of this home, of this house, La Casa Pacifica, would be symbolic. I would very much like that our relations go down in history as relations of peace, of friendship, of mutual respect between our peoples, so that there is no more war.
В заключение я хочу еще раз поблагодарить вас, господин президент, и вашу супругу за то, я бы сказал, большое и приятное событие, которое предстало перед нами и передо мной и моими коллегами, что позволяет мне познакомиться с еще большим кругом американских представителей различных профессий и занятий. Это доставляет мне большое удовольствие. За это я приношу вам благодарность. Вам же всем желаю доброго здоровья, счастья и успехов в вашей работе.
And in conclusion, I would like to express my gratitude to the President and Mrs. Nixon for this wonderful party which he arranged for us today. I believe that this gathering will permit me to acquaint myself with the representatives of various walks of life, of various professions, and I feel very happy and grateful. And to all of you, I would like to wish good health, personal happiness, and success in all your endeavors.
Уважаемый господин президент, я хочу поздравить вас и весь американский народ с успешным завершением героического и очень крупного космического полета ваших космонавтов, с успешным приземлением их и пожелать им новых успехов в этой очень важной отрасли познания Вселенной. Прошу принять мои самые сердечные поздравления по этому поводу и прошу передать это и космонавтам.
Mr. President, I would also like to congratulate you and all the American people on the successful completion of the heroic space flight on the occasion of the successful return of your astronauts. And I would like to wish them new successes in this very important area of human discovery and knowledge. And please convey my best greetings to them.
Пожелаем и в будущем сотрудничестве, о котором мы говорили, нашим и вашим космонавтам, новых блестящих успехов в этой удивительной, я бы сказал, профессии, мужества, героизма в сочетании с наукой.
I would like to wish that our spacemen continue their cooperation. I would like to wish them new brilliant successes in their wonderful profession, which combines courage with science.
Я не могу обойти молчанием того факта, что так случилось, что самым первым человеком, который поздравил господина Роджерса с днем рождения, это был я. Теперь я уж не знаю, когда действительно родился господин Роджерс, но тем не менее я присоединяюсь к новому поздравлению его с днем рождения. И прошу господин Роджерс принять самые добрые пожелания от меня и от моих коллег.
Of course, I cannot but mention what has happened here. By the way, I was the first who congratulated Secretary of State Rogers on his birthday. And now I'm all confused. What is really the day when State Secretary Rogers was born? But anyway, I'd like to say that I also congratulate Mr. Rogers and wish him all the best.
And you'll be interested to know that the General Secretary's speech on television, which was filmed right here at the Western White House this afternoon, will be carried Sunday night. When I was in the Soviet Union, my remarks were carried to the Soviet audience, and his remarks will be carried to the American people.
At the end of this summit, they did release a summit joint communique, and it read, "The President and the General Secretary, in appraising the agreement, believe that it constitutes a historical landmark in Soviet-American relations and substantially strengthens the foundations of international security as a whole. The United States and the Soviet Union state their readiness to consider additional ways of strengthening peace and removing forever the danger of war, and particularly nuclear war." As hard as I tried to find this whole speech, I could not, but I do have about a minute, minute and a half of the speech where Leonid Brezhnev addressed the nation at the end of the Summit 2 in Washington, D.C. / San Clemente, California.
For a long time, it poisoned relations between our countries and international relations as a whole. Some of its dismal influence can be felt in certain things to this day. Under the circumstances, it was no easy task indeed to make a turn from mutual distrust to détente, normalization, and mutually advantageous cooperation. It took courage and political foresight. It took a lot of painstaking work. We appreciate the fact that President Nixon and his administration joined their efforts with ours to really put Soviet-American relations on a new track. We jointly won the war. Today, our joint efforts must help mankind win a durable peace.
At the end of this summit, they did release a summit joint communique, and it read, "The President and the General Secretary, in appraising the agreement, believe that it constitutes a historical landmark in Soviet-American relations and substantially strengthens the foundations of international security as a whole. The United States and the Soviet Union state their readiness to consider additional ways of strengthening peace and removing forever the danger of war, and particularly nuclear war."